Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello there again, everybody. What's up, Dalton?
What's up?
I don't know. Have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
No real complaints out of me.
Same. I've had lots of leftovers since then.
I didn't get lots of leftovers only because whenever I left Friday, I wasn't going to be home till like midnight because I had to drive, go straight to Corinth. So I didn't feel like leaving all that food in my car for over, well, it'd have been like 14 or 15 hours.
It'd have been fine.
Probably, but.
It's cold outside. It's basically your car is the fridge these days. Hey, welcome into the podcast. This is Prep Rally. I'm Brad. That's Dalton. Coming to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Got a packed show here for you. Got some football to talk about because it's the last week of the season. Sad face. It's almost over. Week 16. But we got the championships coming up. We got three teams in there, so we're going to look ahead at those matchups. Got some big coaching news on the football front as well, and we got some basketball to talk about. So,
no, the coaching news is not Matt Luke.
No. Oh, gosh. I do not miss covering college coaching searches. Those are not fun.
I feel like we are covering in the office. People keep talking about it.
They won't shut up. Anyway, well, let's start with the football rewind first, Dalton. Let's look back at last week's big games. We had three teams advance. We only had three games involving area teams last week. Mm-hmm. But so we had three teams advance. We'll start with Oxford winning 6A North by defeating Starkville, avenging a loss to the Yellow Jackets from earlier in the year. Oxford wins 25-16. They ran J.J. Pegues a lot, the big old running back slash receiver slash tight end slash whatever.
Smart move.
Yeah. You know, he was kind of banged up early in the year, but they've started to run him a little bit more lately. They ran him a good bit in the second half against South Panola the week before, and then against Starkville, started off giving the Yellow Jackets a heavy dose, and he's just almost impossible to tackle. The first two or three or four guys that hit him just kind of slide right off. So big and strong. But the defense also came up big for Oxford. I think it was the first possession of the game for Starkville. Snap went over quarterback's head, and Jeremiah Pomerley jumped on it in the end zone. So Oxford, a bit of a gift, but they got on the ball and got the touchdown and just pulled ahead. Actually went for two for some reason and got it. And then went ahead 15-0 and just stayed ahead. Starkville got back in it right before half. They scored like 16 points and in the last two and a half minutes of the half, but they got shut out in the second half.
Oxford goes for two. You know, Oxford probably has the best kicker in the entire state and goes for two more than any team I've seen in 6A, which is interesting, but it usually pays off for them. But, you know, you mentioned that one, you know, that first snap when it goes 8-0 and the ball goes over the Altmaier's head.
Yeah.
You can't gift a team points with such a good defense like Oxford has. You can't gift them 8 points.
No, cannot do that. And so you know, speaking of the kicking game, I thought this was kind of a gutsy move to start the second half. Oxford onside kicked it and recovered. They did that little thing where they all bunch up real close,
right,
and then the kicker, Jack Tannehill in this case, just quickly runs up and kicks it, and they executed it perfectly. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they were up only up 18-16 at the time.
Right.
So if that didn't work, you give Starkville the ball at midfield, up two. Now, they ended up throwing an interception on that possession, but they forced Starkville to punt, got it back, and went down and scored a touchdown to go up 25-16 with 4:13 left in the game. And there was in the third quarter, 4:13 left in the third quarter. And then there was a huge interception by Scott Norflett in the fourth quarter after Starkville got down to the Oxford 12. Third and six, he got picked off by Norflett. He returned it to the 49-yard line. And then there was an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on Starkville. Oxford didn't convert the points, but they ate up a little clock and got one more defensive stop, and that was it. So they head back to the championship game. First time to make the 6A title game. They've been to the 5A game a few times, I think four times total. Or one of those may have been 4A when they were in 4A, but they went like 3 years in a row pretty recently. Did not win any of those, so they're still seeking their first state title. But let's move on to the next one, Dalton. West Point, no surprise here, they win 5A North for the fourth straight year. So they're going for four state championships in a row. And you know, just West Point doing what West Point does, man. I mean, they beat Neshoba Central 20-7 was the final score, and you know, they're up 12-7 here at one point in the fourth quarter. They go 80 yards and 19 plays and score a touchdown. I mean, that's how they're really good at putting that final nail in the coffin, aren't they?
19 play drive.
Jeez.
They would have. I mean, they would have had to go for fourth probably at least one time.
In fact, I think they did. I think they converted a couple of fourth downs on that drive. Yeah, on the game clinching drive, Brandon Harris, the quarterback, he ran 4 yards on fourth and one, and 2 yards on fourth and two, and then he also had a big completion on a third and five. So, a team is clutch, man. The very definition of.
You got to be brave when these games. At this point in the season, you got to be brave. You got to go for those ones if you want to win them.
Yeah, yeah.
As like you mentioned, the Oxford Startville,
the onside kick.
You got to be brave at this point in the season.
Yeah, you certainly do. West Point's defense, of course, played very well as it has all year. They held in the Neshoba Central to 38 yards of total offense in the first half. And, you know, just when their defense plays that way, there's just no beating West Point. Got a tough challenge this weekend, but we'll talk about that in a minute. And then the third game from last week, you saw this one, Dalton. Corinth winning 4A North by avenging a loss to Greenwood. Greenwood knocked him out last year in the third round. This time, Corinth kind of took it to him.
Yeah, it was 40-38 last year. Shootout. This year, a little different. It was more of a defensive domination by Corinth. Greenwood came in. I think they were averaging, Greenwood was averaging 38 points, 214 passing yards per game, and Corinth didn't allow very much at all.
Yeah.
Corinth actually went up 14-0 in the first quarter. Touchdown pass from DT Sheffield to Caden Betts, and a touchdown run by DT Sheffield 1 yard after he broke off about a 55-yard run, just outran everybody, got caught on, you know, the 4 or 5 yard line. They go up 14-0. Greenwood actually cut it to a one score lead, made 14-7 with a touchdown run by the quarterback. And then not much happened in the second and third quarter. But one thing I kind of mentioned a little, didn't really amount to much, but both teams attempted an onside kick in the first half, so I thought that was kind of weird.
Either one of them work?
Both of them worked, actually. And
almost every time I see Corinth play, they do an onside kick, and I've never seen it not work for them.
I don't believe either team scored off of it, though, so it's just kind of amounted to nothing. But, yeah, I mean, Corinth's defense just locked down. They allowed 14 points. They end up, you know, winning 31-14.
Yeah.
They held the quarterback, who's had such a good year. I have his stats here. He was 7 of 20 passing for 93 yards and an interception.
Well, that's not very good.
He came in averaging over 214 passing yards per game. You know, they had Greenwood had 2 1,000-yard receivers, I think, and just...
Yeah, well, we've talked about that Corinth defense being better this year, and that's as good as evidence as any.
Mm-hmm. Well, last year, you know, Corinth kind of fumbled this game away in that 40-30. They were winning, fumbled it, and this year they forced the fumbles.
Yeah.
I think in the second half, I think Greenwood ended up with 4 drives. They scored on the first one, and then the last 3, fumble, fumble, fumble. And so the defense just, you know, you force 3 turnovers in the second half like that, you know, that usually could allow you to win.
And that was Greenwood's first loss of the season, wasn't it?
It was. They had ran through everybody this year.
They did.
See, I was kind of split on this one. I was about 50-50 coming into this one, but Corinth, I mean – I won't say prove me wrong because I'm a full believer in Corinth. We have been since the beginning of the season. You know, we had them ranked in our rankings beginning of the season, and man, they're good. They rushed for 424 yards in their wing tee. I think 3 players had over 100 yards rushing.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, they're really good. You got a really good chance this weekend. So let's move on to this weekend. Again, the MHSAA state championships being played in Hattiesburg on the campus of Southern Miss. The first game up involving one of our teams will be Oxford. On 7 o'clock on Friday night, taking on Oak Grove, so basically a road game for Oxford, seeking again its first title. And that Chargers defense, Dalton, I mean, that's why I think they have a really good chance to beat Oak Grove. Now, I don't know a ton about Oak Grove besides, you know, the stats that we have, but they seem to have a balanced offensive attack. Got a quarterback, Damon Stewart, has thrown for over 2,800 yards, 36 touchdowns. Running back Nick Millsap has 1,349 yards and 9 touchdowns. And they got some other guys, too. But we've seen that Oxford defense really control some good offenses, especially the last 2 weeks against South Panola and against Starkville. And honestly, if you can hold those two guys in check, you got Janari Dean of South Panola, one of the best backs in the state. Mm-hmm. They held him to 30-something yards. Luke Altmeyer, maybe the best quarterback in the state, certainly right. in his class. I mean, he had okay numbers, but he did not light it up like he did the first time they played. So I give Oxford a really good chance to win this one.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see how the Oak Grove quarterback is. I know he was pretty sure he's a transfer quarterback. He came in, this is his only year at Oak Grove, replacing Plumlee. And he lit up Petal last week. I think he had four or five touchdown passes against them. And so I'm interested to see how he does against Oxford defense, because Oxford's defense has not allowed much at all this season. So
no, it hasn't.
We're going to see another thing. You know, like we mentioned earlier in our video, this is going to be basically a true road game for Oxford.
Yep.
They go all the way down to Hattiesburg. Oak Grove, of course, is in Hattiesburg. They they played in it last year, lost to Horn Lake, had over 10,000 fans at the – they almost filled up an entire side of the stadium for Southern Miss.
Wow.
And so they are – I imagine they're going to bring in the same amount of fans again this year.
Oh, I would think so. So, again, that one kicks off 7 o'clock on Friday night. Next game to look at, West Point against Picayune. It's the Green Wave against the Maroon Tide, whatever that's worth. Picayune is undefeated. West Point 14-1. Again, 7 o'clock Saturday night. Of course, we all know about West Point, that running attack led by Brandon Harris and Dantarius Cannon. And you got the defense that is pretty darn stingy. And then you've got Picayune with this kid that has put up some insane numbers, especially for 5A. I don't know the level of competition he's done this all against. I haven't looked that closely at their schedule. But Cameron Thomas has rushed for 3,371 yards and 46 touchdowns on 270 carries. So I don't care who he's playing against. That's really good.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you don't see many kids rush for 3,000 yards and 46 touchdowns. It's amazing to me.
That's insane. So, they don't throw it much. But obviously the focus is to try to slow down Cameron Thomas. Easier said than done, because I don't guess anyone's really done it this year. But West Point, if they can control the ball offensively, because they have a good running game as well, and, just don't let Thomas break off big runs, then, I think they can win. And, again, it's West Point. Okay, they find a way, as we mentioned.
They've been there before.
Yeah, this is their fourth straight trip to the state title game. They've won all three times. I was looking back. They've won 10 titles. They've been to 12 championship games, only lost two. They know how to take care of business down there. So I like West Point's chances, definitely, in this one.
One tidbit I was just thinking about in this game, it's the Green Wave versus the Maroon Tide. West Point is 1-0 in games against mascots that resemble water this year.
Wow. Dalton with the sports trivia for you.
I think those three, them two and Tupelo, might be the only ones in the state with that. So.
Maybe you're right. I mean,
and they beat Tupelo earlier this year.
I don't know if there's another wave type team or not. I'd have to go look.
1-0 against water mascots.
Here's your key to the game. I don't know. So the final game involving one of our teams is Saturday morning, 11 o'clock, in 4A, Corinth against Poplarville. Corinth is 13-1. Poplarville is 9-5. So, I'm guessing people are not really picking them to get this far. But here they are, Dalton. And so, they have a couple of thousand-yard rushers, Gregory Swan, easy for me to say, and Chase Sears, both over 1,000 yards. And, of course, Corinth knows how to run the ball, as we've talked about.
Poplarville's been here before. If I'm not mistaken, they played in it last year.
Okay, and they finished second in their division.
Yeah. They lost last year to Louisville.
That's right.
And I'm pretty sure the year before last, they lost to Noxubee.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Well, this is their third title game appearance in 4 years. So it may have been 2 years before that, before the Louisville matchup.
It's possible, yeah.
But anyway, they're not unfamiliar to this stage at all. Corinth, only their second, the program's second trip to the state title game. I think the last one was in 01, maybe. Mm-hmm. And they're looking for their first state title. So, back in 01, they lost to Collins in the 3A final. So, Corinth, to me, if you had to say which of these teams from our area have the best chance to win, you'd have to – I know West Point is West Point, but I feel like Corinth has a really good matchup that it can win for sure. I would feel most confident about that pick.
And the Corinth kids are wanting it for some reason. They adopted this unfinished business motto after last year when they got put out when they felt like they shouldn't have. And then this year they – you know, if, this is just me talking. For some reason, they think everyone's against them. They have the everybody versus Corinth, which I guess is just a way to hype the kids up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it's the whole Dabo Swinney approach.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, who actually is picked against them this year very much, besides maybe one or two people? But, like,
yeah,
everyone, it's us against everybody. Well, not whatever, really, but yeah.
Yeah, but whatever motivates the kids, it's yeah. fine.
And so those kids are hungry. They want this win. That defense has been outstanding for them. The offense does what the offense does, you know, rushes for 300 to 400 rushing yards in that wing T and just.
Yeah. Like, doesn't Poplarville run the wing T, you said?
I believe so. If it's not the wing T, it's something very similar to that, I'm pretty sure it is. And they have two 1,000-yard rushers. I don't think Corinth has two 1,000-yard rushers. I know they got Tam Patterson, but they've got about five 800-yard rushers probably.
Yeah, they got a bunch of guys that can run the ball, really more than they had even last year when they had Tam and Zach and DT all together. Still got Tam and DT and then some other guys as well. So, yeah, Corinth will, again, kick off 11 a.m. Saturday against Poplarville, seeking the 4A title. Okay, let's talk some coaching news real quick, Dalton. Big news out of Ripley. Sam Hathorn out. Mm-hmm. Perry Lyles in. Remember old Perry? He spent 10 years at Calhoun City, retired, quote unquote, then promptly went to Coffeyville as offensive coordinator, and now he's like, you know what? I like being a head coach. So he wanted to go somewhere that he knew he could win, or you know, that had the ingredients that he could use, put together to be a winning program. And Ripley has certainly been a winner in the recent past. Now they've struggled lately. Obviously, they went 2-10 this year, but that's a school that historically is pretty good at football. And Perry is one of the better coaches in the state. And if anybody can get them back on track, I think it's him.
They had the athletes there. They've had a couple great kids come through there the last few years. You know, especially on football team, Jamal Brooks. You know, most recently this year, who had such a good year. And just kind of the athletes across the whole school. You know, you look at the baseball team, basketball team has been so good. And so, I mean, he's going to have some talent there to work with. It's just
And that's one thing he told me. He's like, you know, I've got to get the athletes that are in the school out on the football field. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure there are some kids walking the halls that don't play anything, or they're playing just one sport, and you know, they could probably help the football team out as well. So, that's a big pickup for Ripley. That's an excellent hire there of Perry Lyles, and he thinks he's got probably 5 or 10 more years left in him of coaching. So, he'll be there probably as long as they let him. Mm-hmm. Certainly. Okay, let's talk some hoopage real quick, Dalton. You went out to Tupelo last night, Tuesday night, and saw Tupelo's boys take on Boonville's boys. Two very good teams.
It was. This was a really, really good game, and, you know, that's why we covered it, because we thought it would be. Boonville came out. You know, they were 3-0 on the year. They beat Ripley. We don't have them ranked, but they beat Ripley last week, I think, or the week before, whenever it was, Ripley-ranked team. And Boonville is one that was really young last year. Everyone was kind of like, oh, you know, give them a year or two, they're going to be really good. And then this year they add Brighton Smith, transfer from the new site, who averaged, 15, 16 points a game last year.
Yeah.
And, man, they came out and put it on Tupelo early in the game. Mm-hmm. They Trey McKinney, Josh Dukes, Brighton Smith, they a bunch of shooters on that team. They can score from everywhere on the floor. They jump out to an 18-8 lead at the end of the first quarter on Tupelo. Four different players hit a three-pointer in that first quarter. And then Brighton Smith, of course, was dealing with a lingering back issue that he got hurt against Ripley. Mm-hmm. I was told he wasn't even going to play last night, and then they announced him in the starting lineup. So I was told wrong. But he comes out, and then Tupelo just, you know, storms back. I think they outscored him. It's 22-7 in the second quarter, take a 30-25 lead. Much of it was due to the guys in the post. Josh Mitchell and Keyshawn Ward had two great games. Josh ended up with 17 points, 11 rebounds. Unofficially, that's what I had him as, and Keyshawn had him at 12 points, 11 rebounds.
Yeah,
so they both had great games.
Yeah.
And the post was the difference, you know. Boonville's got Billy Johnson down there, a couple of taller guys, but they didn't do anything. I don't think Billy scored.
Well, I mean, Josh is what, 6'7"?
6'7".
I don't know how tall Ward is, but
he's probably 6'5", 6'4".
Yeah, so that's a lot of length they have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of bodies up on Josh Mitchell, of course, because he's the big man. You know, he's Danny Does and everything. Kind of opens things up for Keyshawn, and it did. And they kind of made him pay. You know, the teams go back and forth there in the third quarter. You know, I said Tupelo's up 30-25. I think Boonville actually took the lead. It was 39-38 maybe, and then Josh Mitchell had like a huge slam dunk. He did a spin move on somebody, opened up and just dunked on him, and to end the third quarter gave him 1-point lead, and then him and Keyshawn Ward scored six each in the last quarter. I think they scored 12 of the 16 points in a 16-4 run to end the game.
Yeah.
Boonville actually cut it to 4 points there. It was with 2 minutes left, but then they had back-to-back turnovers on two short possessions that kind of resulted in Tupelo points. All of a sudden, it's 8 points with 1 minute left. So.
Yeah. Well, that's a good win for Tupelo, and I think Boonville is going to be a force in 3A.
They are. They are, and they're playing a really tough schedule. You know, you play Tupelo, who's our number one ranked team. I think they play Holly Springs here soon, maybe this weekend. I think
the Doc Vandiver Classic.
And then, you know, they are prepping themselves in the preseason for late in the season.
Certainly. The game I was at Tuesday night, South Pontotoc at North Pontotoc, I thought the girls' game was going to be a good game, and it probably would have been, but I get there and I'm told Shamiah Hadley was out. Mm-hmm. She's the leading scorer for North Pontotoc, really good player. She has some kind of knee injury. She's missed the last couple of games. Supposed to have an MRI, I think, this week. Her coach, Matt Waltrip, is hopeful that it's not going to keep her out for the season, but she was not there. Not able to play against a good South Pontotoc team on a Tuesday. So South ended up with the win 49-35. And, you know, South has to deal with some personnel losses. Aaliyah Pennington's been out with a knee injury. And then Macy Cannerty, a starter, was limited to only a few minutes because of foul trouble. But the bench came through for South Pontotoc. Caroline Cook and Layla Hoped both had big games. Cook had 9 rebounds. And I think a couple of steals, and Hoped had, who has started before, Hoped had 8 points, 6 of them in the fourth quarter. North Pontotoc took an early lead, 10-7 after a quarter. South then outscored them 16-1 in the second quarter and kind of kept them at arm's length the rest of the game, a double-digit lead all the way. But North did knock it down to 10 with a few minutes to go. Mm-hmm. And then South responded by getting the ball to Hoped, and she scored like 3 quick buckets to push the lead back out and kind of seal the deal for South Pontotoc. So both teams now at 7-2, and hopefully the Hadley girl can get back for North. They really are going to need her as the season goes on. And one quick note about something coming up. We just mentioned at the Vandiver Classic at Baldwin. This is the 13th. Annual Vandiver Classic, and it's got some really good matchups. I plan to be there on Saturday, but I'm going to have 7 games, 5 boys, 2 girls. Among the games, we mentioned Boonville, Holly Springs. That'll be a good one. Tupelo will play Houston, Tennessee. That's supposed to be one of the better teams.
I think they're the favorite in 3A in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Which 3A might be the highest classification.
Yeah, Tennessee does it different.
Yeah.
And then Baldwin will play Potts Camp. This will be an interesting matchup. Baldwin hoping to have Jacoby Williams back by then. They're actually hoping to have him back Friday for the Columbus game. You know, he had that high ankle sprain he suffered playing football a few weeks ago. And Potts Camp, of course, they've got all those big guys. They're huge.
Yeah, they got like 3 or 4 guys over 6'5 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. They got Walter Hamilton and Mitchell Salisbury. And I'm trying to remember the other guy that's so tall. Is it Tay Frost?
I think that's the kid's name. I'm not sure if he's the one that's so tall or not.
Anyway, they got some good players on that team. I saw them earlier. I think it was last week, actually. I saw them play in that Saltillo Thanksgiving tournament. So that'll be a good one. It starts at 10:30 a.m. at the Baldwin Gym. 7 games. Good local tournament. Let's keep moving. We're running long. Surprise. Let's do a shout-out. This week's shout-out goes to the Oxford and Calhoun City boys basketball teams. They are in Washington, D.C., actually, right now, as we're talking, they're on the way to Washington to play in a tournament up there at Sidwell Friends School, which is a very prestigious school up there, like Obama's kids went there. Okay,
nice.
So, yeah, it's an 8-team tournament, and I've got a story coming on it in Thursday's paper. They're going to play 3 games each, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, the coaches, Drew Tyler of Oxford and Darren Coffey of Calhoun City, are really good friends, have been for a long time. They schedule each other every year. They've taken a trip before together with their teams down to Florida a few years ago. And so they managed to put this fun trip together. Going to go visit several, you know, landmarks in D.C., you know, like the Arlington Cemetery and the White House and all those places, and going to some ball games. Going to go see Notre Dame, Maryland tonight, and then going to a couple of NBA games this week as well.
That'd be really fun.
So, yeah, it's a really cool deal.
Can I give 2 shout-outs myself?
Okay.
I have 2 of them. One, I want to shout-out the Newsite girls basketball team.
Okay.
Beat Kossuth last night. That's a good reigning 3A champs. I think that was their first loss of the season.
Yep.
Not sure many people expected that one to happen, and that's a good win for Newsite. Stay undefeated, I believe, on the year.
Yep.
And then my other one is to Deshaun Berry.
Oh, yeah.
He tore a ligament in his foot last week and comes back. The doctor tells him that he can play whenever he's ready, no surgery needed. Comes out last night. In a 88-83 loss to Cal City, He scored 38 points and had 16 rebounds with a torn ligament in his foot.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Not bad. Those are my two shout-outs. I just saw those. They stuck out to me.
Good. Hey, well, we can have multiple shout-outs. No problem there. Yeah, Cal City's a good team, too. So, good deal. Congrats to all those people on the shout-outs. And now let's wrap it up with the Athletes of the Week. We do this every week. We honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments from the past week. The female athlete of the week is Haley Traylor, junior for Tupelo, Dalton last night against Boonville. 31 points, which has to be a career high for her.
Yeah, and I don't think she missed a three. I'm talking about she scored the first 9 points for Tupelo. I think she had 21 of the 27 at half or something like that. Or no, 21 of the 30 at half, and then just came out. She was probably 6 of 6 or 7 of 7 from three-point range.
Yeah, she can shoot the three. Well, that's crazy. 58 to 20 was the final. Male Athlete of the Week, Hunter Stacy, the senior for Biggersville. I got to see him on Saturday at the Lighthouse Classic when he had 35 points and the game-winning bucket in a 72-70 win against McNary Central. He had a putback, I think it was, with about 24 seconds left. Good win there for Biggersville. And then he drops 40 Tuesday night against Faulkner in a 97-64 win.
30 in the first half.
Yeah, that's right. And I think nine three-pointers
in the first half. He's averaging, I think I saw, 35 points a game so far this year.
Good Lord.
So we could have him and Barry might be fighting for the top scorer in the state this year.
Yeah, Hunter Stacy is very good at basketball.
He's an excellent scorer.
I think, what was it, one of the coach I talked to the other day, somebody called him slippery. That's a good description of him. All right, so congrats to Haley and Hunter, your Athletes of the Week, and that's all the time we got for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all so much for tuning in. We come to you every Wednesday. Look for us on iTunes, in your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Follow Dalton on there at dlmiddleton8. And I'm on there at Brad Locke. All right, we will see y'all next week. Have a good one.